Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing this program during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, you're hearing our live broadcast, and we would like to share this time with you. With a question or to add to the conversation, give us a call now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Piper.
Oh, thanks, Bob. It's nice to be on the air with everyone here, and this month, we're looking at the issue of identity. Who are you? Who am I? And is it important? Yesterday, we looked at a passage in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And that's wonderful news. We know that something has changed as a result of becoming a child of God, and that's the identity issue. Do I belong to God, or am I just still part of the world? Because remember, identity is derived. I get my identity from someone or something else, and the key to this is getting my identity from the exact right person, and that's Jesus. Well, today, tomorrow, and Thursday, I want to look at a passage that we've looked at many, many times before, but look at it in a slightly different way. This is the passage of Galatians 5, 16 through 24 or so. And we'll get through a part of it today and a part of it tomorrow, and then we'll finish up on Thursday. But usually we talk about this battle in different terms. And this week I want to talk about it in the context of identity. What does this battle that we're going to read about say regarding identity? Well, let's start with verses 16 and 17. So it's Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Well, if we read yesterday that I am a new creation in Christ, and I read today that there's this battle between the flesh and the spirit, I thought you said I'm a new creation.
Right.
You know, what gives? You are a new creation. I am a new creation. But we need to remember why the gospel is so important and why we here at Basic Gospel focus on 1 Corinthians 15 so often. Everything depends on death, burial, and resurrection. For example, if Jesus wasn't victorious over sin by his death on the cross, there is no forgiveness and no future to worry about. If Jesus wasn't victorious over death by his resurrection, there can be no salvation because we're still in our sins. So one of the ways we define salvation is being born again. As Jesus said in John 3, verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. We are born again spiritually when we accept Jesus. The new creation that we have and are is a spiritual creation. Note, we have not been born again physically. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you, brothers, this is verses 50 through 52. I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. All this means that we fight a constant battle. On the one hand, we are new spiritual creations, restored to oneness with God by the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have been absolutely, completely, utterly saved. On the other hand, we still carry around this flesh and blood, which will eventually be replaced with a glorified body. We will be, in the future, completely, absolutely, utterly saved, but in the future. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, this flesh and blood still carries around in it the results of sin over the centuries. It is beset by sin. It is dying. It cannot be regenerated. It must be replaced. This is the battle Paul is describing in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. Note that this battle is taking place within the context of salvation. That's worth saying again. This battle, the battle between the flesh and the spirit, is a battle that takes place only within the context of salvation. You are a new creation, a child of God, and you await a guaranteed resurrection. But you never will lose this salvation. You can say with absolute confidence, I am being saved every moment of every day. Therefore, as a child of God, you have a choice you never had before you were saved. You can listen to the Spirit, or you can listen to the flesh. In short, you can choose to live in a manner consistent with your new identity, or choose to wallow in the fetid swamp of sin. Seemed appropriate to write it that way.
Yeah.
The first is the way of rest and peace. The second is the school of hard knocks. But note that both ways are lived as a child of God.
Both ways.
Both ways are lived as a child of God. If you wander off into the weeds, if you get stuck in the quicksand, God is not standing over on the path saying, well, come back, come back, come back. He's right there with you saying, let me take you back.
Yeah.
And he will do that every time, and you will have learned something, just like I learn things every day of my life, about how to walk by grace through faith. So you truly are a child of God, identified because of your spiritual rebirth and recreation. You absolutely are saved for the future and will receive a brand new body at some point in time, either by resurrection or by just being changed in that last moment in the twinkling of an eye. In the meantime, God has left us with this flesh so that we will learn to trust him completely and to walk by faith in the fact that what I know is true about me spiritually and will be true about me physically can be true right now today in spite of anything. That's an identity worth holding on to.
That's an identity worth holding on to. I couldn't agree more. And, friends, that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Thank you, Richard, for those great thoughts as we get this broadcast underway. You know, friends, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And if you have become a new creation through faith in Jesus Christ, you have a new identity. And understanding your identity in Christ can dramatically impact the way you live your life every day. I'd ask you the question, friends, have you made that discovery? Well, in a new CD series from Basic Gospel, you can get to know the real you. It's our gift this month as our way of saying thank you for your gift of love to Basic Gospel. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and get to know the real you. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or just click donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, plenty of open lines right now, everybody. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial if you're living in the U.S. or in Canada. It's a toll-free call, and we want to hear from you and share this edition of Basic Gospel with you and with Richard Piper. Again, 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now. Richard, in the meantime, a question from Mike, who dropped us a line. It concerns the devotional, love does not rest, respond in anger, Mike wrote. That was in response to a recent broadcast. How, he says, he asks, how does God overcome his anger, tossing the bulk of his creation into hell, or what? That's from Mike, who dropped us an email.
Well, not the least bit threatening there. That is one of the great questions that people have been asking since anyone considered that there might be a real God out there who has something to say about my life. And we're always upset about the fact that there is a judgment, that God is going to say one of these days, enough. And all of the lost are going to go to hell. Now, what we do by mistake is define hell pretty much the way that Dante defined it in his Divine Comedy.
Right.
You know, there's 7 or 8 layers of hell and progressively worse, and it's this horrible, horrible thing. And we don't know what it's going to be like. We know that it will be separated from God. We know that we will be forever separated from him with no hope of return, which is bad enough. but it's not a place of ultimate torture, and you know, we take you down to within, you know, a millisecond of dying, and then we bring you back, and then we do it again just because we can. That's the picture that causes us to ask, how could God do such a thing?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to ask the question a slightly different way. How could God not do such a thing? God is God. He has the right. He could have, the moment Adam and Eve sinned, the moment they rebelled and chose to not believe him, he could have said, that's it, you're done, snap his fingers. Actually, he wouldn't. He'd just speak them out of existence and start over.
Right.
He didn't do that. That's the question I want to ask him. Why didn't you snuff them out and start over? Well, that's really the wrong question, too, because if God started over, he would have to admit that he made a mistake, and he didn't make a mistake. He created us in order for us to respond to him, and he gave us absolutely everything. Adam and Eve had absolutely everything they could possibly dream of, and they chose to throw it away. That's on us. That's not on God.
Right.
And so God said, I'm not going to destroy them. I'm going to save them. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to send the promised seed. And as time went on, the picture of this promised seed got more complete and more complete. And then Jesus came. And Jesus revealed the Father to us. And Jesus showed us that the Father loved us so much he was willing to risk himself for us. I mean, think about what would have happened if Jesus failed. I don't think we can imagine it. I think if Jesus had failed, the whole thing would have blown up.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the universe would have ceased to exist. I can't prove that, but that seems to be the risk that God took. Jesus lived in perfect dependence on the Father. He was our role model for that. We're not asked to do the things he did. We're not asked to behave the way he behaved. We're asked to trust him. Trust that we really are new creations. Trust that the Spirit lives in us and will lead us into all truth, will renew our minds and help us choose wisely. And once we've accepted Jesus, God says, that's more than enough. You're now saved. Mm-hmm. It's the easiest thing in the world to be saved. Accept Jesus. It's the hardest thing in the world to end up in hell. God has done everything and more to make it worthwhile for us to choose life. And if we choose death instead, that's not on God, mm-hmm. that's on us. That's
yes,
our problem, not his.
Our decision.
It's our decision. We can remain dead, or we can come to life and have life forevermore. Now, I don't want to confuse anybody who might think that because, you know, I'm saved and then I can lose my salvation. If I can lose my salvation, then God is this God who just delights in torturing us. God created us to be with him. He sent Jesus to restore that relationship, and if that relationship is restored, nothing can break it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God isn't the ogre that some people paint him to be.
Right.
And so the issue of judgment is there, it's in the Bible, but it's best to leave it in God's hands. I'm not the guy who makes that call. God is the person who makes that call. I choose to trust him rather than trusting this world system.
Yes, indeed. Well, Mike, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question and can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, you can pose your question either of two very good ways. You can call 844-322-2742 anytime, 24 hours a day, and pose your question in your own voice. Short of that, you can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel with open lines, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time Hour, well, the good opportunity for you to speak with us live right now. Richard and I would love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. In the meantime, let's go to Metairie, Louisiana, and talk to Wayne. Hi, Wayne. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing great, Wayne.
Good. Yeah.
Good to hear from you.
Listen. It's been a little while. I was in the Word this morning, and I ran across something, and I was wondering exactly what it meant, and I believe you answered it in your opening dialogue on this new identity, and I was kind of wondering if I could just read a passage to you and get you to kind of comment on it.
Okay.
Or would you want to read it? It's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1.
Go ahead.
Okay, it says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And to hear you in your opening comments, that's exactly what you're saying in this new identity that we have. With the right choices, we can cease a life from sin, because Romans 6 says we're dead to sin and alive to God. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if I was kind of on in the right direction with that, with what you said.
Yes, you are. Peter is reminding his readers that suffering is a reality in this life. And yet, as children of God, when we suffer, what we are demonstrated is that we belong to Christ. We arm ourselves with the same way of thinking, right? The same way Paul put it in Philippians 2. Have this attitude about yourself the same way Christ did, who emptied himself, right? Didn't hold on to the fact that he was God, but chose to be one of us. We get to empty ourselves, so to speak, to be his. And then we get to go through life, and in spite of the difficulties, we know that we still belong to him. Now, it's a completely different issue that if I bring the difficulties on myself, if I have bad choices,
right,
break the law, eat poorly so that I get sick, or you know, any of a thousand other things, that's not God doing anything to me, and that's not me being persecuted by the world. That's just part of sin, and that's the part that's hard, because we have to live in this dying world. But insofar as the world system and other people who hate Jesus pick on Christians, we should think of it as no better and no worse, no different than a tiny piece of what Jesus went through in order to save us. And so we get to live in hope. We don't have to live in this awful moment.
Yeah, that,
if it comes to that.
Good. I was kind of, because to cease from sin, you know, I mean, it's just, it has to be because of that new identity. I mean,
yes.
Because if it wasn't, I mean, we'd still be dead in sin.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just kind of wondering if there was a connection there, and you know, it just perked my ears up to hear you say that, and I was thinking about that this morning.
Yeah.
So
also remember that there are two kinds of sin. There is the root cause sin, which is unbelief in Jesus.
Yeah.
Once we've been born again, we truly have ceased from that sin. We will no longer be unbelievers again.
Oh,
but this ongoing battle between the flesh and the spirit, sometimes we lose and we sin.
Yeah.
That's a behavioral sin. That is a failure to live consistently with who I am as his child. That was already dealt with. That's forgiven. All the Spirit says is, what have we learned? And that's as bad as it gets. What have we learned?
That's really good, because, I've kind of, God's been getting to me that place, and I tell you what, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly, truly is. Well, all right, Richard, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for the good job that y'all do. And, hey, could I do one thing real quick?
Okay.
I'd like to just thank our friend Ryan in Lacombe, Canada.
Uh-huh.
Everything he says has touched me, and I just want him to let him know that there's a brother in Louisiana that just appreciates him, and I just thank him, and just, I just couldn't encourage him more to just keep his eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for all of us, Richard. I mean, it's just that simple. It really is.
Well, what you've
just
done,
like you said in the open.
Yeah, what you've just done is behave as a member of the body of Christ. We're here to build each other up in the faith and to encourage one another. And you've just offered that to Ryan, and I don't think anything could be more appropriate. So thanks for doing
that. And I just want, you're quite welcome, and just everybody, keep your eyes on Jesus. All right, Richard. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Wayne. Good to hear from you, brother. 844-322-2742. We've got enough time to squeeze in a call from you if you're hearing it during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour. 844-322-2742. And friends, keep in mind that each day we stream live video to both Facebook and YouTube, and we hope you enjoy this feature of Basic Gospel. Remember, too, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program. And, Richard, we're getting down to crunch time with regard to our financial need and the impending end of our fiscal year. What do we need to see by the 30th of this month?
Well, we honestly need $199,000 to be raised in the month of June. We're not kidding about that.
No.
This is a question of being able to continue to broadcast as we do, to take advantage of the various platforms that we're currently on, and to, you know, pay our bills
right
the way that we should. This is about stewardship. You know, because you're listening, and you've been touched by this message of Jesus, how important this message is. We need your help. We really, really need your help. And there are enough of you listening out there. We know, because we have the numbers. We know how big the audience is, that in a heartbeat, we could raise this money.
Yeah.
We leave it in your hands as you communicate by faith with the Spirit on how much you should give. Mm-hmm. But we do need you to give, and we need it now. So I don't apologize in asking for that. It is what it is, and it's serious. We're not playing games. We're not just making this up. We really do need this money to be raised, and we know it can happen, and we're walking by faith, and we know that God can do this. And if he's done with us and we're not here broadcasting in the next 3 months to 6 months or a year, well, that's God's will.
Yes.
And we have been pleased to be part of that will. I personally don't think God's will is for us to be done in the next few months. I think there is way more opportunity than there is time to bring this message of the love and grace of God in Christ Jesus to a world that is literally dying for good news. And you folks are making it possible. You're touching lives just as much as we are, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to give. We can't do it without you.
Absolutely. And, of course, to say thanks for your help this month, we're going to send you a copy of our new CD series called The Real You, helping you to understand your identity as a child of the living God. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and get to know the real you. That's 844-322-2742 or donate at basicgospel.net. Richard, closing thoughts as we end the broadcast.
Well, this deal of identity, as we just heard from Wayne, this is everything. When you realize that what God has done is to restore us to the identity he wanted us to have from the very beginning. And he's done it in a way that makes it possible for everyone from the moment of initial creation until the very end of time, by simply accepting Jesus to be his forever and to be identified as his child, a fellow heir with Christ. There really is nothing better than that. And if you get this nailed down, if you get it into your heart and soul and brain that I am a child of God and nothing can take that away from me, yeah, you will see life change occur, because you will then be allowing the Spirit to change you from the inside out. It's a process that will not fail, cannot fail, and will bring you such joy that you hardly will be able to contain it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Richard, thank you for holding forth. Great stuff on this edition. Of course, we bring the good news every day on Basic Gospel, and we thank our friends who step up to support the ministry and this proclamation of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, your identity is very, very important to understand. And we have the CD series that we're talking about, The Real You, and it's yours as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Again, you can do that by going to basicgospel.net, click donate, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, for Basic Gospel. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.